Hello, tis myself, Miles McKee, with the Gospel Truth Podcast. Today I want to take you to John's Gospel, chapter 12, and we're going to read a few verses, beginning at verse 20 and going through to verse 33. The title of this wee message, this podcast, is Sir, We Would See Jesus. That's great. We're going to look at that, when it was said and why they were saying it. Sir, we would see Jesus. And the scene is set for us just after the triumphal entry. We're just about a week away from the cross here. And so we read in John chapter 12, John 12, verse 20. John 12, verse 20. And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. That's the feast of the Passover in Jerusalem. So they came up to worship at the feast. The same, these Greeks, came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. I love that. Well, Philip comes and tells Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it die, it brings forth much fruit. And he that loves his life shall lose it, and he that hates his own life in this world shall keep it unto eternal life. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, but for this hour, for this cause, came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. And then there came a voice from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And the people, therefore, that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. And others said, an angel spoke to him. And Jesus answered and said, This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. And this he said, signifying what death he should die. Remarkable. Sir, we would see Jesus. Who were these Greeks who came up to the feast? Well, they were probably interested in religion, but more than likely they were converts to the Jewish faith. Then they'd come up to worship. It's obvious that Jesus was the center of interest in the country at that time. Everybody was talking about him. It was amazing, especially in Jerusalem. So much so that in verse 19, we didn't read it, but in verse 19, Jesus' enemy said, the whole world has gone after him. The whole world! No, these men, they'd heard all this talk about Jesus. They wanted to know him. They were Greeks, probably had been disillusioned with paganism and converted to the Hebrew faith. But Jesus, he said, very, very interesting. He was delighted to hear that Greeks had come. Did you notice, at the beginning of his life, people from the West, wise men from the East, came to him. And now Greeks, they're from the West, they've come to him. So both East and West have come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it's wonderful. The East sent its representatives, the West sent its representatives, and from the cradle to the cross. from the cradle to the cross. Jesus is worshipped. Religion will never satisfy you. These Greeks had left religion. No, they want to see Jesus. And you will be dissatisfied in your Christian life unless you are encountering Jesus. Unless he's the heart of your faith. Oh, no, I'm just here to do good. Well, I'm glad you're going to do good, do well. I'm glad that you're going to help people and all these things and cheer people up and make them laugh. But the whole center and crux of everything is the Lord Jesus Christ. These Greek men were still dissatisfied. Religion will leave you dissatisfied unless you meet Jesus. I wish there were more people like these Greeks. They wanted a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Sir, we would see Jesus. I wish there were more people like that. Discontent with religious ceremony and all the ritual and the lack of reality. But the request of these men was, sir, we would see Jesus. Listen, only Jesus can save you. And if you're not looking to him and not meeting to him, oh, what can I say to you? The only satisfaction you'll get is meeting Jesus. You can read the Bible for rules and regulations and one thing then another, but are you meeting Jesus? And I want today, I pray that Christ and Christ alone will be your only hope. Do you hear me? Your only hope. That you'd not put your trust and hope in your good deeds, in your church attendance, in your giving of money, in whatever. But only Jesus would be your hope at the very center of your life. So let's look at this request. Sir, we would see Jesus. Now, they didn't come to see his ministers. Did you notice that? They didn't say, oh, we've come to see the wonderful ministers. No, ministers are, look, they're important. Yeah. Of course. But no minister can save you. No preacher can save you. No priest can save you. Acts 4, verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. Which other? Jesus. Any other. There's no salvation in any other apart from the Lord Jesus. Acts 4, 12. What can wash away your sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There was an old lady dying in hospital, and a new priest had arrived, a new minister, Church of England guy, had arrived in the parish, and he went to see the old lady. She was dying, and he said, I've come to absolve you. And she said, let me see your hands. No, I've come to absolve you. Let me see your hands, she said again. Once more he said, I've come to absolve you. I'm the new priest. Let me see your hands. Let me see your hands. Well, eventually he gave her his hands and she examined them. And she looked at him and said, sir, you are an impostor. The only man who can absolve me from my sins is the man with nail scars in his hand. Sir, we would see Jesus. Have you seen him? Have you come to him? Have you trusted him and him alone? They didn't come to see his ministers. They came to see Jesus. They came to see him. Oh, he's marvelous. Do you love him today? Is he precious to you? You know, it's the job of every minister to bring people to Jesus, to make it real, to make Christ real, to commend him to others. Sir, we would see Jesus. Well, they didn't come to see his ministers, and they didn't come to see his mother. Hey, they didn't even mention her. Now, look, I don't want to be offensive to anyone in saying what I'm saying, but I have the highest regard for and honor for the Blessed Mother. And I think it's sad to hear Protestants criticize her. But it's equally sad to hear many Catholics, Roman Catholics, almost canonize her. It's terrible. I remember, many years ago, having a conversation with a young man. I asked him, are you spiritually minded, interested in spiritual things? Oh, yeah, I go to church. And do you read the Bible? Yeah, I sometimes read the Bible. Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Yes, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe he died? Yeah, I believe he died. And then he said, but you know, I'm not sure of it all. Okay, I said, do you pray? Oh, yes, I pray all the time, pray all the time. To whom do you pray? I asked. Oh, well, Mary, the Mother of God, I pray to her. Oh, I said, well, you read the Bible, yes. And, well, who then is the friend of sinners in the Bible? Is it Mary or is it Jesus? Well, Mary, yeah, well, she's a friend. Do you pray for her? You say you pray to her. Is she the friend of sinners? Well, yes, that's good, yes. Look, give me an example of her being the friend of sinners. Well, there was silence. The guy couldn't say a word. Why? Because there are no references to Mary being the friend of sinners. But I said, listen, Jesus was the friend of sinners. Can you think of any times he was? Oh, yes, Zacchaeus up the tree, the wee man up a tree. Oh, yes. And then the wee woman taking an adultery. Yeah, I said, Jesus is the friend of sinners. Listen, what the Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:5 is there's one mediator. That means we don't need a second one. We're not here to criticize Mary. But we need the one mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we had a great talk. I don't know whatever happened to him. He was long gone. Maybe we'll meet in glory. If he trusted Christ, we will. There's one mediator. And we don't criticize Mary, but we don't canonize her. Well, what do? We recognize her. She's blessed among women, not above women. And the gospel according to Mary is found in John chapter 2, verse 5. It says, whatsoever he says, do it. And here's the gospel of Mary. Do you want to be faithful to Mary? Do whatever Jesus is saying. Sir, we would see Jesus. They didn't come to see his ministers. They didn't come to see his mother. And they didn't come to see his miracles. Tragically, many today only want to see miracles. And there's two mistakes made about miracles. Number one, we underrate them by saying they don't exist. Or number two, we overrate them, saying they exist every day. The theory today is, look, just do miracles and everybody will believe. Well, that's not necessarily so. Cities like Capernaum, Chorazin, Bethsaida saw his miracles and perished. Luke 10:13 tells you that. They perished. They'd seen all the miracles, but the miracles didn't save them. And then in John 11, Christ raised Lazarus from the dead. And some came to faith in Jesus Christ. Verse 45 of John 11. But later in the next chapter, John 12, verse 9, they have a supper. And Lazarus is there, and they came for Jesus' sake, not for Jesus' sake only. This is right after Jesus has raised Lazarus from the dead. They came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. They didn't come there to see Jesus. Well, they wanted to see the novelty, the man who came back from the dead. Look, not everybody believes in the midst of miracles. And I'm glad for miracles, genuine miracles, when they happen. We believe in a God who's still supernatural and all-powerful. But not everybody comes to faith in the midst of miracles. These men weren't interested in the miracles. I'm sure they've heard them all. They heard all that Jesus did this, Jesus did that. Oh, but brother, if we had miracles, everybody would flock to where we are, to know that the supernatural existed. No. Here, listen. So many people want miracles, but they're not interested in following him. They're not interested in committing to him. They're not interested in loving him. They're not interested in serving him. They're not interested in coming to know him. Sir, we would see Jesus. Is that the cry of your heart? Or do you just want to get something from God? Or can you say with the hymn writer, his only righteousness I show, his saving truth proclaim. 'Tis all my business here below to cry, behold the Lamb. Sir, we would see Jesus. They didn't come to see his ministers. They didn't come to see his mother. They didn't come to see his miracles. Or they didn't come to see his magnificent church building. Why not? Because he didn't have one. He didn't have a big, huge building. Come here and come and meet Jesus here. Listen, they'd seen the temple, the Jewish temple. They'd probably walked all around it. They could get into the court of the Gentiles, and doubtless they had been impressed. The temple in Jerusalem was magnificent, a magnificent structure of cream, stone, and gold. And it was probably one of the greatest buildings of the ancient world, covered acres of ground, overpowering just to look at it. But the Greeks were unimpressed. Why? Because they hadn't met God there. You can't point out a building to me and say, I'm going to meet God there. No, you won't. You meet God in Jesus. He's the meeting place. He is both God and man. Yeah. And some people, however, would rather belong to a building rather than belong to Christ. You say, well, that's the church I was baptized in when I was a baby, and I'm grown up in that, and that's where I'm staying. Listen, would you rather have a building than Christ? Jesus Christ didn't come to build bricks, build churches of brick and stone. He came to build a church of people joined to him by covenant, a covenant made with his blood on Calvary, where he died for sinners, he died for his people. And then these people are learning to be together and love each other, serve each other, and get on with each other. And they're in covenant with each other. But Jesus is our only hope. And he's waiting to meet you. Hello? He's waiting to meet you. Sir, we would see Jesus. Well, he's waiting for you. He's waiting for you. Will you not trust him? Will you not put your confidence in him? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And that is the gospel truth. Hey, it's been great to have you here on the broadcast today. And if we can help you spiritually, please write to me, Miles McKee. Miles@milesmckee.com. The website is www.milesmckee.com. And we'd love to hear from you. And that, again, is the gospel truth.